Hello, this is Koen Prinsen. This is a recorded message at home of the message that I did on 19 May in 2019 in Vineyard Groningen. Then the recording failed, so I've recorded this again at home. So thank you for listening. I'm going to preach my heart out though, again, so stay tuned. So we're in this message series, it's called Living Under Influence, and before we discussed already, how the Spirit is setting us free to live the life that we were created for, and how the Spirit is also guiding us in week two. And today we're going to discuss how the Holy Spirit is involved in the expansion of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ. When he began with these words, "The Spirit of God is the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." And through Jesus' teaching, healing, and all these other miracles that he did, he demonstrated what this meant. The kingdom of heaven came down to earth. Oh, and it was wonderful. During the time in the ministry, he also trained up 12 followers, disciples. They would be the future leaders of the church. They would become the apostles. The mission and the ministry of the kingdom of God would not start would only start with Jesus, but it would certainly not stop with Jesus. His mission was carried over to the disciples and to the church. And so to understand this clearly, we're going to look at a few passages around the ascension of Jesus. Ascension means how Jesus went up to heaven after his ministry was over, after his death and resurrection. And we're going to look at the different gospel writers, how they, what they say about what Jesus said when he was saying goodbye to the disciples. Because then he was really carrying over the mission and the ministry of the kingdom of God to them. Firstly, we look at Matthew 28. It's probably the most famous one. People have been in church for a long time and will probably know this by heart. There in Matthew 28, it says, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So Jesus here gives his mission and his ministry over to the disciples. He was about to ascend up into heaven. And he does it with these words, "I will be with you always. I will be with you always." As you go out, you expand the kingdom of God, and you bring people into this kingdom, you make them disciples, you go out to all nations, even to the end of the ends of the earth, you're going to baptize people. "I will be with you." But how? He was about to ascend up to heaven. It will be through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at how Luke describes this. He does this in the book of Acts. Luke and Acts are written by the same writer. And basically, Acts is the sequel, and he describes the ascension scene both in Luke and in Acts. We'll look at Acts 1. And there Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go." So it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that the disciples would receive the power to continue to carry out the mission and the ministry of Jesus. Note those words of the angels, "Someday he will return." And this helps us to understand the time that we live in now. We live in the in-between age, also called the age of the Spirit, the time between the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in that in-between time, we have the responsibility, we have the mission to expand the kingdom of God, to bring people into the kingdom of God, so that when Christ will return, he'll be able to take the church up into heaven with him. And when he comes to restore the earth. So the full consummation of all these promises, all these promises of God, how beautiful he will make the earth, how we wipe every tear away, how there will be no more death, how there will be, everything will come to a full restoration. That happens only at the second coming. But until that time, you and I are called to partner up with the Holy Spirit and to expand the kingdom of God. And this makes all the difference. Jesus is sending us out to go and to spread the good news of the kingdom, but not in our own strength, and not in our own wisdom, not in our own understanding, but full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the final verses of the Gospel of Mark, where we see this applied. How did it happen? How did the disciples do? We start off with the words of Jesus. He told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of God. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by miraculous signs. So the spreading of the good news about Jesus Christ would not just happen through words. It will be accompanied by powerful supernatural deeds as well. And so when the disciples started on this mission, they saw lots of miracles. Please don't miss out this very, very important phrase. Jesus says, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe." The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is not only for the disciples. It's for every single person that believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that includes you and I hope. Through us, the Holy Spirit wants to do incredible miracles, to confirm the message that you and I carry with us wherever we go. The message that changed our lives. We are invited to take part in this worldwide supernatural mission that makes a difference for eternity. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Now, I don't know what your experience is with the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what church background you come from. I don't know what theological background you come from, or what positions you hold, what experiences you had. But let me just quickly reflect on two areas of theology that I think maybe may get this wrong a little bit, and may have thrown you off a little bit. First of all, you may come from a cessationist background. They believe basically that the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit was only for the disciples. It was only to kind of kickstart the church and to write the New Testament. I'm very sorry to tell you, but I believe that this is a deeply mistaken view. And it's not only the Bible that holds a different position, but we see the contrary happen in all of church history and in the everyday lives of many believers. It proves otherwise. The Spirit is still moving. It was not only for the disciples. It was not only to write the New Testament. Of course, the Spirit moved powerfully in that time. And the book of Acts is not describing my everyday life. But these things are still possible. These things still happen. And we should reach out for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through our lives, to expand the kingdom of God. But perhaps you come from this like super charismatic or charismaniac type of background where you saw some things happen and you wonder if it's really from God. I feel with you. I want to say to you, not everything that people ascribe to the Holy Spirit is really from the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't make people weird. Maybe this may surprise you. It doesn't make people weird. People that act weird and say that it's the Holy Spirit, they were probably already weird to begin with. The Spirit does make average people like you and I do supernatural things though, making our witness of the gospel more powerful. We'll pick up the topic of spiritual gifts later on in this series, but let me just reflect on this real briefly. The supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit always serves the spreading of the gospel or the growth of the church. Let me say it again. The supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit always serves the spreading of the gospel or the growth and strength and health of the church. If it serves something like self-elevation, enrichment, manipulation, or show, it is not from God. It is not from God then. This, and of course, biblical support for what happens or what is said, these are the two main tests that I have to interpret if something is from God or not. Let's look at a biblical example though of how the Holy Spirit empowers mission. We have this beautiful example in Acts 8. We're going to read the story. It's a long story. Bear with me. Acts 8, 26 to 40. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip was one of the deacons in the church. Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. So this was an important man. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. It's about the suffering servant, which is Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. First of all, having read this story, how about the Spirit's transportation system? I mean, where can I sign up for that? Secondly, though, isn't it incredible how the eunuch accepts the Lord Jesus Christ and immediately wants to be baptized? I mean, so often people I've met are postponing their baptism until someone or something happens or someone approves, or they feel this personal call of the Holy Spirit that they should be baptized. You know, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of your life, you're ready for baptism. You don't have to be holy enough. You don't have to get everything in order. You don't have to understand the whole Bible and every single passage. I mean, I don't. But you can be baptized if you know and believe the gospel. We've got a baptism service coming up soon on June 9th. It's going to be wonderful. And if you're not baptized upon your own profession of faith yet, I want to invite you to be baptized then. But let's reflect on this beautiful example of how the Spirit is involved in mission. I mean, this is typically a Spirit-arranged and Spirit-led encounter. All that Philip really has to do is follow what the Holy Spirit's already doing. It's this man is like, it served to him on a golden platter. I mean, I wish it was always this easy, you know. But this is the type of mission you and I are called into as well. The Holy Spirit is inviting us to be partners in the mission and the ministry of the kingdom. Jesus has sent us out on this mission to expand the kingdom of God and to share the good news about him and to disciple people. But we are not doing this in our own strength and wisdom, but under the guidance and in the power of the Spirit. See, it's not your determination or your natural ability that will determine your effectiveness, but it's your sensitivity to the Spirit's voice and your readiness to follow where he leads. From the story in Acts 8, I want to unfold to you three ways that the Spirit's working in mission that we need to understand in order to be effective missionaries in this world, to be effective ambassadors of the kingdom of God. First of all, the Holy Spirit prepares mission. It's clear that the Holy Spirit was already busy with this Ethiopian eunuch. He prepared him for this encounter. He was what the Jews would call a God-fearing man. He was from another religion. He was from another country. He was from another language. But he had a special interest in the Jewish religion. He would worship Yahweh probably along of other gods. But he would have this special interest in the God of the Jews. In modern terms, I guess we'd call him a seeker. Just someone who's curious about Christianity and just coming into church and kind of praying to God or who he believes that God is, like, just bring it on me, like show me. I'm curious. I want to know more. I believe that evangelism really works best when you aim to connect to what the Holy Spirit is already doing in the other person. You see, when you just randomly walk up to people and start evangelizing, they may not be ready to hear that. They may be put off about what you are saying or just the fact that you're approaching them. But I believe that the Holy Spirit really is constantly trying to get a foot in the door with people, pointing them to Jesus, connecting them to Christians, and stirring hearts to long for more in life. So many people may be constantly dismissing this voice, but others may be listening. Others may be stirred indeed by what the Spirit's already doing in them. So this is why I believe it's so important to pray for the people around you that don't know Jesus yet. Because through prayer, we support the work of the Spirit in them. And we become more sensitive to understand what the Spirit's already doing in them so that we can connect to it. See, the problem is that not yet believers, they may not be as eager to listen to the Spirit's voice as we are. The Spirit's only with them, not in them, like with us. So they may dismiss the voice of the Holy Spirit very quickly. And that's why the Spirit wants to partner up with you. He wants to use you to speak to them in such a way it will be harder for them to dismiss it. So I want to give you this simple practical step. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you every day to people that need to hear from God. Be available. Secondly, how is the Holy Spirit working in mission? He compels mission. The Holy Spirit compels mission. The Holy Spirit was already working in Philip as well, not only in the Ethiopian eunuch, but also in Philip to arrange this encounter. And he led him to the chariot. I mean, it's one thing to hear the voice of the Spirit, but it's certainly another thing to also follow it. If you want to hear the Spirit speak, you need to pay attention and also follow his instructions. Then it will become clearer and it will become stronger. We need to ask ourselves two important questions. First, am I listening to the Spirit? If we're in a conversation, you and I, and while I'm talking to you, you are staring at your phone and you're WhatsApping with your friends or doing whatever, updating your Facebook profile, or checking the news, it's very, very unlikely, don't take it personal, it's very likely that I will disengage from that conversation. I mean, I'm gonna find someone else to talk to who actually wants to talk to me as well. Ask yourself, am I really listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I paying attention? Am I making space in my life to listen to God? When I'm praying, is it me talking? Or is there also a part of me that's listening? Are you trying to hear the voice of the Spirit? Or are you too busy with other things? Honestly, ask yourself this question. Secondly, am I willing to follow where the Spirit leads? If I do hear Him, will I also follow? There's a lot of things that can get in the way of us actually following where the Spirit leads. I mean, pride, shame, indifference. Maybe what we first need to pray for is for the Spirit to uncover and diffuse anything within us that is still in the way of us following where He's guiding us to. Thirdly, and that's where I want to close off this message today. The Holy Spirit empowers mission. When you read the book of Acts, like the full, I mean, we just took one story, like half of one chapter from the book of Acts. It's full of stories like this. It's full of Spirit-empowered mission, of miracles, of amazing things that the Holy Spirit does through, mind you, very, very normal people. Very normal people. The disciples weren't especially gifted. They were just random guys that Jesus chose for their willingness and for their faith. There wasn't anything in them that made them stand out compared to the rest of the Jews. They were very, very normal people. Like you and me. At least like me. When you read through the book of Acts, you can see how the spreading of the gospel is empowered by the work of the Spirit. These people, they healed the sick, cast out demons. Even dead people were raised. These things happened in the ministry of the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people have suggested that the book of Acts should actually be called Acts of the Holy Spirit instead of Acts of the Apostles. But I think the whole point that the book is trying to make is that you need both. These things go hand in hand. The Spirit needs to move and the people need to move. They need to partner up in order to be effective. When the apostles followed where the Spirit led and moved, and when they were in moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, they became effective in reaching people with the good news. See, I don't believe the purpose of the book of Acts is just to tell you about great things that once happened. This book is written to inspire us to go out and to see the Spirit of God at work in our lives as well, through our lives as well. Listen to this. Ephesians 3 verse 20 to 21 says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that does his work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think this is a very powerful and beautiful passage, but don't miss the middle sentence. See, so often I would think about this passage, or I'd hear myself praying something. God, you're able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So we want to lift up our prayers. We want to... What's the whole point? He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What? According to the power that is at work within us. Wait a minute. This is not encouraging a prayer for God to fix things for us, or to move ahead of us, or to just make us bystanders, watching God do this incredible thing. This is an empowering prayer. These verses challenge us to see God do immeasurably more than what we could ever imagine, what we would even dare to pray for, what we dare to ask for, through the power that's at work within us, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. God is involving you and me in His supernatural ministry. Can I ask you a personal question? When is the last time that you prayed for something that could not happen if God wouldn't intervene in a supernatural way? When is the last time you prayed for something that could only happen in a supernatural way? Not through just circumstances or coincidences or just like normal, but only in a supernatural way. You see, I long for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life, in my family, in our church, in the city. What about you? Lord Jesus, I just want to come to you at the end of this message and pray. I pray that whoever is listening to this message will pray this same prayer along with me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We need more of you. We want to listen to you. We want to follow where you're leading us. We want to be empowered by you to expand the kingdom of God.